Thank you, Murray. Our next reader is Malia Acker. Please welcome her.
Thank you. How delightful to see so many familiar faces. What a community we have. So this poem, Georgian Bay, was written after the first time that I went out to Georgian Bay in the winter, and I had never seen the way that a lake, or I guess a giant bay of an ocean, freezes and kind of piles up pottery shards of ice at the edges before it turns into a flat sea that eventually becomes open water. It, coming from Victoria, that's not what I'm used to. Georgian Bay. And again, thank you so much to both of you for this fabulous book. Already I have lost it. Words fix things firm and the sun pins beauty to the world. But out where wave met ice cobble and the sign of water lifted the drifts and dropped them, a tablecloth slowly unfurled for the whitest bone in China. I stood above a fathom of water and rose and fell before the unfrozen bay. House, tree, book, star, all slipped away. The aquamarine of Georgian, like a swing, a lover, a wing, solidity hinged. For the certain answer, for our successes, for completion, this offering. A moving floor, the wave drawing near. Thank you.
Thank you, Malia. Our next reader is David Fraser. Please welcome him.
When I was one, I shared my life with a border collie, and now I share my life with two border collies, and I can tell you that it's an adventure every day. So this poem, by no surprise, is called Border Collies, and it's not just about border collies, but it's other stuff as well. The border collies are knackered now, all day chasing grumpy sheep. They slink behind the rocks, peek heads up, avoid the work. They do not know the blood that seeps through the muck of runoff. It flows into the glen. These dogs are young, born to the obsession of their craft. They do not know the burning button bends, thatched roofs ablaze, bodies fueling fire. They know the present only. Not the past, not the baggage of this history, not the Helan cattle's red fur scorched and curled. There are muddy hooves that jut into the air. There are gutted bellies, sheep in rotting piles, a stench. There is raw rooted anger. There are men and women torn and numb. Sheepdog. Still in the here and now, raise their heads above the crags. They know they need to work. Bend the sheep with come-bys and aways. Steady, steady. Not like revenge. Take your time. Take your time until the last lambs are safely down, clumped together, moving in a mass toward their pens. The dogs' tongues flop from their mouths. They're knackered, eyes alert, just a stare to move the herd. These dogs know not the moments of betrayal, slaughter points en masse, the clearances. They know a day's good work, a job well done, some food. They know quiet corners with openings where they can watch their sheep. Thank you.
Thank you, David. I have to just pause to thank everyone who's come from out of town. And David is one, and our next reader is another. So thank you, all those who traveled. Our next reader is Anne Graham Walker. Please welcome her.
Hello, everybody. Can you hear me? Yeah? Yes? Yes. It's a real honor to be here. Thank you very much, Yvonne and Cynthia. And this poem I'm going to read began in one of Patrick Lane's Glen Airlie workshops, and it's called A Place Like This. The son in this story and the daughter have paid extra money to be present when their mother is burned. She's waited 2 weeks for her slot in the furnace. They need to know the body is her. The mother's face shriveled leather, her jaw somehow bigger as if startled by her square pine container. They scatter petals on her once green irises, bleached like sea glass. One petal drops into her mouth. The furnace attendant in this story wears dirty clothes stained with booze and fried chicken. His job comes with free lodgings down the corridor from the chamber. He's become impervious to the smell, to the 3-hour searing between body and powder. He breaks the silence with a grunt, gestures for the sun to pull the switch. Could have made $50 salvaging that pine box. Cluttering the loading zone, his heap of used but unburned cardboard coffins, scribbled on with black marker the names of the dead. The mother in this story, right up to the end, wore color-matched shoes and Miss Dior perfume. She would have rather died than lie down in a place like this. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne. Our next reader is Arlene Perre. Please welcome her.
Thank you, Yvonne. Whoa. Thank you. And thank you for the book, Yvonne, Cynthia, Ursula, and also Rhonda. It's a lovely book. I'm going to read a poem called For the Record. Once when I worked for salaries, a long, long time ago, in another century, in another city, I worked in mental health, social work, and part of my job was going out to the institution in Coquitlam called Riverview. And I did that for many years. During that time, I met a lot of people with very, very difficult lives. So this poem is about those lives and those people, for the record. Anne Proben, 16, escapes father's hands through admission door of Essendale, stays on locked ward 60 years, forgets every word she ever learned. Claudia Clyde, 32, leaves a downtown hotel through a seventh-story window, leaves 3 haranguing voices in the room, her legs on the sidewalk. Shirley Oaten, 47, crosses First Avenue against the red light, looking straight ahead, handbag in hand, transistor radio somewhere at the bottom. 3 lanes of traffic,
fingertips burned orange, makes it just past the middle. For the record, Anne's handshake was a silken flag. Sandra Baxter, 29, places herself on her boyfriend's couch, switches on the electric carving knife, holds it hard against her throat. Boyfriend out for a pack of cigarettes, a bag of taco chips. Paul Needham, 23, crosses two highways, Riverview to Portman Bridge, leaves Portman Bridge at the highest upper crest, drops 30 stories, water like cement. Shirley moved through time like a northern elk. Her brother in the east did not attend the service. Paul Needham, sweet-faced, moved through wards like the Holy Spirit. Jane Poole, 35, loses appetite, refuses food, loses hair, refuses friends, loses teeth, loses kidney function, loses heart. For the record, unofficial, everyone lost heart. Thank you.
Thank you, Arlene. Our next reader is Karen Chester. Please welcome her.
What a party it is tonight. I feel grateful every time I'm here, but maybe most especially tonight. Thanks for being here, everybody. This poem is seated in a moment of agony. It's called 29 Moss Street. I mount steps to a house you and she now share. A sign reads, "Welcome. Please remove your shoes." I wore heels with jeans that made them right, damn it. In the middle of an impromptu tour, apologetic, you pour me wine. There is a new television, a sectional. Art I might have chosen myself. You watch my glass, introduce me, walk me through the yard. There is a tree, her trunk all leg. Bartlett, perhaps. Barren, you say. You must see to your other guests. I elect retreat, walk the rooms. In your den, a calendar lies open. I think to write in it. Having done enough, I leave. Know the sudden sharp of parting, the scrape of my pen, my only mark. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. There is one chair right there. Oh, sorry. Anybody wants to sit? Our next reader is Ulrika Narwani. Please welcome her.
My thanks joins all the others for this book, this marvelous gift. An offering. The Ceres crane, 1.5 meters tall, high steps his way to a mate. In his beak, an offering of straw. Spring, Dungarpur. A basket woven of cedar bark. How simple it looks. It isn't. It's full of secrets, cedar secrets. Spiders are master weavers. So are some ants. But that's nothing. They learned it all from the wind. How do I know this? I ask you, who or what can weave a web with invisible thread so strong it holds the world? I learned a new language when you were born. It is one we all know without speaking.
Thank you. just blissful. Can I just say blissful? So beautiful. Thank you, Ulrika. Our next reader is Barbara Colebrook Peace. Please welcome her.
Thank you, Yvonne. How many people here know how Planet Earth poetry got its name? Would anybody like to shout out?
P.K. Page.
P.K. Page. So it seems very fitting to remember P.K. Page tonight. And my poem is an elegy for P.K. Page. It's called On Having Nothing to Say When P.K. Died. And it begins with a quotation from P.K. Page's poem, Migration. Now, in this season, there are no words left. On having nothing to say when P.K. died, the words began to leave, one by one slipping from the room. Though a few stayed, silent, by your bedside while you slept. Now they have disappeared into the forests from which you called them. The eagle owls, daughters of howling, are muted in mourning. The dusky-legged swans have returned to their mountain sanctuaries. Now the words of light, the brittle, and the strong, and the heart's alphabet have migrated southward. So the light, changing while you died, remained unspoken, and the unspoken dark gathered you in. Thank you.
Trying to gauge the height of the next reader. We have two more readers in this set, and Susan Telfer has come the farthest away. Please welcome her.
Thank you. My poem's called Charm, and it's inspired by Alperdi's Say the Names. Similkameen, similkameen. I'll chant the old charm in the slow cadence of my mother. Similkameen, similkameen. Where peaches bake sweet on the trees in the heat of the oven-hot wind. Roll down the windows of your eyes. Feel it dry out your lungs. We park the van in dust by roadside stands in Karameas, crowded with orchards. Soft piles of fruit swelled ripe. Tomatoes, plums, transparent apples, cherries, peaches, pears, and apricots. How long I've wanted this. Similkameen, similkameen. A box of peaches jammed by my bare feet. A box of peaches heavy on my lap. The scent of perfumed peaches soaks the van. Drive north onto the Okanagan Shelf. Roll down the windows of your eyes. Now see. The names they print on fruit boxes and signs do not define here. Even the word peach, which might mean jubilation. Juice strips down my chin. I bite the downy flesh at breakfast, and peach enzymes bless tongue enzymes. I'm alive. The valley's oldest nation's name still rings. Echoes off each river slice dry hill. ever since dark matter's origin. Oh, Similkameen, Similkameen, which might mean home, or milk of paradise, or hear it, first garden of creation. Thank you.